Hey everybody, it's Joseph Shepherd and welcome to Expose. This is the show where I chat with all of your favorite divas. Now today, we're going to the ATL, but she's actually here in LA now. From season 14 of RuPaul's Drag Race, Miss Angeria Paris Van Michaels.
Yes, I'm in the house.
You are in the house.
I am in the house, finally.
Finally.
Jesus Christ.
You know what?
What?
I said today, I'm not using my cards. I said I'm throwing them away.
Oh.
So I made sure I studied really hard.
Okay. Like a test.
Like a test, yeah.
Okay.
Were you good at test?
Yeah, you know, actually, what a lot of people probably don't know is I wanted to be a teacher.
Really?
Yes. I was supposed to be a teacher. Like, okay, so I went to college for 2 years and I majored in early childhood education. And a lot of people do not know that before I was a drag queen, I was supposed to be teaching kids.
How young did you want to teach?
No older than like 8 or 9. Mm-hmm. So like we'll say third grade was probably like my stopping point where I was like, okay,
Then they start stinking. They start smelling.
Yeah, and then they start thinking for themselves, becoming adults and things, and that's what I was like. See, I don't want all that. I don't want all that. Like, I don't want middle school, high school. I need the little kids. Yeah. You know that's. Mm-hmm. But that didn't, that didn't work out. But it's fine. It's okay. You know, that was a better plan.
There's a better plan.
That was a better plan.
And you're speaking about kids. So we got to talk about you as a kid.
What is a kid?
I was about to say a child and a kid, and I mixed them together.
Oh, that's what you did. A child and a kid. I was like, a kid? I was like, what is a kid?
Did you grow up in Georgia?
I grew up in Georgia. I grew up in Sparta, Georgia, which you should know because you studied
for the test.
For the test. But I grew up in Sparta, Georgia. Very, very small town, deep in the country, like middle Georgia. It's next to like Macon and Augusta. Mm-hmm. Yeah, nothing but like dirt roads and woods and trees and nothing. My whole town has like 4 stoplights.
Stop.
Mm-hmm. Not very big, so. And no drag scene or nothing either.
No
gay scene. No, it's not big enough for it anyway, so it's fine.
Yeah.
It was like 4 of us in the whole town.
In the whole town?
Yeah, it was like 4 gay people in the whole town.
When did you realize, hey, you know what? I'm not straight.
I realized I'm not straight when I was probably in the 8th grade and I was staying with I was in the 7th grade and I was staying with my sister like for summer break in Savannah, Georgia. And she used to let me like get on her laptop and stuff. And one day I was on her laptop and I was looking at straight porn. Oh, my sister's laptop. I know. But I was looking at straight porn, and on the side where the ads pop up and
stuff.
Yeah, gay porn had popped up on the side. So little curiosity, in me was like, click the link. So I clicked the link, and it's safe to say the rest is herstory. I never went back. After I clicked that link, it became a whole thing. I never watched straight porn in that time period. I was just dedicated to only watching gay porn after that. And then after that, that's when I kind of like said to myself, probably after a few months of like wanting to watch it, I was talking to one of my friends at high school, and I told her about it, and she said, are you gay? And I was like real casual, like, are you gay? And I was like, I don't think so. And she was like, maybe you are. And she had like been experiencing some, gay tendencies as well. So we kind of like came to this epiphany together, like, maybe we are gay.
Yeah.
Maybe we're gay. And guess what? We're gay. Hey. We're gay. Here we are today. Mm-hmm.
Exposing yourself.
Yeah, exposing my gay self.
What did your family think when you came out?
So, my dad found out first. Mm-hmm. My dad found out first, and he actually didn't. I didn't tell him. He just like, my dad is a very observant. See, you knew what I was trying to get to. Observant. My dad was a very observant. He is a still to this day is a very observant person. So he knew already. I think my mom knew too. I just think that out of the two, he accepted it first, mm-hmm. and then it took her a little while longer. So like, he came to me one day and like basically was asking me questions like, are you
this
okay?
This is your sister's, like, laptop. What is on it?
Yeah, this is your sister's laptop. Yeah. No, and no shade. Like, I did leave because we had dial-up internet, mm-hmm. back then. And you know, if you ever had dial-up internet, you know it's real slow.
Yep.
So I had to take about an hour just to, let it like download to watch the clip I wanted to watch. So I would like leave it up and then go to bed. I would put it in the tab down at the bottom at my computer at home, and then I would just leave it there and then like come back to it. So one night I fell asleep, and then the next morning I'm waiting on the bus, and my dad walks in and he's like, "So I saw something on the computer." And I was like, "You did?" Bitch, my heart was in the bottom of the fucking couch. I was like, "Are you serious?" And he was basically like, are you gay? And then I was like, no. That's all I could say in the moment was no, because I really was still workshopping it. I didn't know. But like I said, later on, when I knew for sure, which was like right before I graduated high school, I was like, I know. I'm going off to college, and I'm going off to college to be a fag. I was like, I'm going off to college to be this.
You were ready.
I am. I knew, like, right before leaving home, I was like, I knew already what it was about to give. I was, you know, by that time, I had already experienced, like, you know, my first sexual encounter with a guy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I had been around the block at least for, like, a year. So I was like, okay. I'm not, like, out. I haven't, like, told many people, but I know that this is what's about to happen. Yeah. So I went ahead and told my mom, and then my mom was basically like, I accept you, but I don't accept it.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad, like I said, was just pretty much kind of like, we didn't really talk about it, but I knew he knew and he was cool, mm-hmm. you know? So yeah. And then years later, she ended up coming around. Like, my mom ended up coming around. Just took her some time.
Yeah.
You know, just took her some time. She ended up coming around. And then, you know, and then there was the drag thing. And that's a whole different story. The drag thing is an entirely different story from the gay story.
So, well, what happened with that? When did you decide?
So, the drag thing was, my freshman year in college, I had a friend. Mm-hmm. That did drag, and I had them put me in drag for my birthday. And I was like, I just want to be in it. I just want to be mm-hmm. in it. I just want to see what I look like.
Had you seen Drag Race before, right?
Oh, yes. I've been watching Drag Race since I was probably about 14, okay. I think, about 14. I had been watching it since, like, season one.
Okay.
And, like, that's another thing. Like, even before I came out and all of that, my parents knew that I loved, like, watching Drag Race. Mm-hmm. Like, they knew. So that's why I'm like, I knew there had to be, like, signs or something. Because I had, like I said, before I even came out as gay, I had been watching Drag Race.
Yeah.
Just, you know. And so, like I said, I had a friend that was doing it. And I was like, I see you and your transformation. I want to do it, too. So they were like, okay, cool. I'm going to put you in drag for your birthday. And I just wanted to see myself. I didn't want to go anywhere. I didn't want to go perform, go to the club. I just wanted to see what I looked like. And I did. I didn't look at myself the whole time that she was doing my makeup. And then after she was done, I walked into the bathroom and I was like, it was a whole, like, oh my God.
Was it a good?
Yeah. Like, oh, yeah. No. I wouldn't bust it.
Because anytime I've ever had somebody do my makeup.
Oh, it was terrible.
I get excited because their face looks pretty, you know?
Yeah, and then you
see. And then they do it on me, and then it's like, oh. And then I got, you got to lie. You got to be like, great.
And you got, you know, it's okay. You know, but we all, it hadn't always been pretty.
Well, you know, the person who put you in drag, mm-hmm. who was that? Was that Nina Bonina Brown?
That was not Nina Bonina
Why
Brown.
Why is everybody saying Nina Bonina Brown?
But that's so funny because I don't know where it came from. Well, actually, I do think I know where it came from. So Nina is one of the first people to paint me when I moved to Atlanta. So mind you, I had been doing drag for a year before I moved to Atlanta. And she was one of my first drag friends I met in Atlanta because I had been seeing her perform at the club. Mm-hmm. It was before her getting on Drag Race, of course. And I was like, yeah. I was like, you know, she was like doing makeup and stuff on people and some of our mutual friends. And I was like, I want you to do my makeup. And she was doing like a lot of creative stuff. Like she wasn't nearly doing what she was doing at the time. At then she had just maybe like 4 or 5 character faces up under her belt. And I was like, okay, like she's real creative. I want you to like put me in some kind of like creative character drag or something. So I went over to her house and she did my face. It was very pretty. And she put grapes on the side of my face.
Were they real grapes?
No, not actual grapes. Yeah, like she hot glued plastic grapes to the side of my face. No. They were, she like drew grapes, like on the side of my face. It was a very pretty face. It just had these grapes on the side of my face. And I was like, okay, that's what we're doing today. And we had so much fun that day at her house, like painting in her bathroom together. But me and Nina, like, that's like my sister.
Anyway. Yeah.
Like, I like, she came and actually filmed one of her audition tapes at my house. Like, at my very first apartment in Atlanta. She came over to the house for, like, a weekend. And I filmed her entire tape for her.
Damn.
Mm-hmm. And look at what we are now. Like, I still remember having conversations with her on the phone, like, about her getting on.
Yeah.
And then not even knowing at the time that I would, you know, be on too. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, you know, we here. So you stick your foot into the drag pond. Your friend does your makeup. It's not Nina Bonina Brown.
It's not.
And
it's
then not. When did you start performing and how did you tell your family? Did you tell them?
So I told my mom. Almost like the gay story. Dad pretty much knows everything already. Mm-hmm. And then the way it happens is one of my friend's dresses just so happens to be in my dirty clothes hamper. And, you know, at this time, I was like, you know, at my parents' house. Like, you know, I was in college, so I was like visiting every now and then. So my mom's doing my laundry, and I'm asleep. And she wakes me up, and she goes, please tell me that this is not yours. And it's like a full, like, little freakum dress. It doesn't belong to me. It's actually my friend's. So I wasn't lying when I told her it's not mine. Because it wasn't. Mm-hmm. But I did take that opportunity to go ahead and tell her that I did drag. Like, I was like, here it is. She's asking. Let's just do it. Let's just get it out the way. Let's just do it. So I did. I was like, here we are. And I went ahead and I was like, it's not mine, but I do drag. And she was, once again, she said, whoa, this is a little much. You know, the gay thing, that was one thing.
That was one thing. It was fine,
but whoo, okay, this is something else. And she did not, like, want to see me in drag at first. She didn't want no parts. And like I said, Dad, he was like, you know, Dad is the real, like, OG. He was helping me hide my dresses and my heels and my wigs from my mama. He was. Like, he would come visit my, like, apartment, and there would be drag all everywhere. Mm-hmm. And he would, like, help me, like, clean it up and, like, hide it. Like, because we knew that my mom wasn't, like, there yet. And then she ended up coming around about a year later. Actually, about a year or two later, Mm-hmm. When I had, at this time, I was already living in Atlanta, and I was very serious about it. I had been doing pageants, and I knew that drag was, like, something that I, like, loved to do. Like, it had quickly become my passion, and I was like, okay, she has to know about this because it's a part of me now. Like, I love what I do. She has to know about this. So what I did was I said, I'm going to take her to Lips Atlanta. I don't know if you know what Lips
is. Yes, I know what Lips is.
Yeah, so I was like, I'm going to take her to Lips Atlanta for her birthday because I need her to see what I do in a positive light, because I think, you know, you only know what you're exposed to. And exactly. I think, exposed. But yeah, so you only know what you're exposed to. And I feel like she knew that was, like, she only knew what she knew about it, and what she knew about it, I'll say, she equated to, like, not very good things. Like, she was basically concerned. And yes. I always knew, like, I never felt like, you know, I never felt like my mama, like, didn't accept me ever. And she never made me feel like that. And I always made sure that I knew the difference. Mm-hmm. It was just that she was not used to that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And anything she was used to of gay people or anything she had heard, it wasn't very good things. It was either people getting gay bash or, you know, catching HIV or stuff like that. So she didn't have, like, a good... You know, so that's all her mind kind of went when she knew that I was doing drag. And I was like, I have to show her what I'm doing in a positive light. And so for my birthday, I took her and my dad to Lips for her birthday. And I did her makeup that day, too.
Yes.
So we was just breaking ground that day. And it went flawlessly. When I tell you, I probably have never executed a plan so perfectly in my life. Like, I really came up with that in my head. And I cannot believe that it worked, because it really did. I told myself, I was like, I'm going to take her to this place, and I need her to see the, you know, the smiling, dancing, happy, you know, funny drag queens. And I need her to see what we do. I didn't even get in drag. I wasn't in drag. I just wanted her to see. So all of the waitresses and all of the show, they enjoyed it. They loved it. They was tipping the queens. They had the time of their life. They had a ball. Like, she will never forget their birthday. And I kid you not, like, a couple of months later, after that, she said, okay, I'm finally ready to come to one of your shows. I said, I do you one better. You can come to one of my pageants. I have one coming up next month. And they came. And they came to every single pageant after that I was ever in. And they've been completely supportive ever since.
Wow. The power of Lips.
Mm-hmm. The power of Lips. The power of Lips Atlanta. The power of Lips Atlanta. Shout out to Lips Atlanta, because, yeah. Bringing families together.
Uh-huh.
Bringing Southern country families together.
So you're doing the pageant circuit, like you said, mm-hmm. but did you also perform at some of the gay establishments in Atlanta?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So my main club that I performed at was a club called The Marquette.
Mm-hmm.
And you said you've been around Atlanta, so you probably have heard of the Marquette before. It's been there for years, as RuPaul actually said to Lala on season 13. It's been around since the Civil War. It's been there, but it is one of, like, the legendary mm-hmm. clubs of Atlanta, and that was, like, the club I performed at the most. I also performed at what was at the time. Burkhart's.
Oh, Burkhart's. Yeah. Burkhart's isn't anymore.
It isn't anymore, because then it became Midtown Moon, and now it's the Eagle. Now we had
Eagle.
Yeah. Uh huh.
It moved.
So if I'm not mistaken, they closed it. I don't think we had one for years. Since when I moved to Atlanta, we never had one. I had never heard of it until I heard people talking about it. I don't think we actually. And if we did, If we did, I never, like, saw it or hadn't been to it. But I do know that they did end up turning what was formerly Burkhart's into the Eagle. I'm pretty sure that's what it is right now at this very second. I'm pretty sure it's the Eagle Atlanta, or however you say it.
Yeah. That's where I saw my first drag show, was Burkhart's.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Burkhart's was probably one of the first places that I did, you know, perform in Atlanta.
I worked at, they're gone now, but I worked at Joe's and Juniper and Einstein's.
Okay.
So that was
familiar,
my little...
Familiar with all... Yep.
I've been Midtown
to the, I've
area.
Never been... I love the Midtown area, but I had never been to the Midtown area for drag or shows. I just went to eat.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've ate at... I've ate at Einstein's. I've ate at Joe's on Judy. We used to have lunch there all the time, me and my friends.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very familiar with those places. There is nothing like Atlanta. Atlanta is like easily one of my favorite places in this world. And I'm so happy that that's where I like got like my, you
Your
know,
footing.
Hold.
Yeah.
Like it is. Because like I said, I had been doing it a year before I moved to Atlanta. And I basically moved to Atlanta for drag.
Mm-hmm.
I had already stopped. I had already stopped like college. And I kind of knew that it wasn't for me. So I was like, I want to move to Atlanta. I am going to find me a job, but I'm really going there for drag.
What was your job while you were doing drag?
So, at the time, I was working at a call center for DirecTV.
I thought selling, you were going to say for
selling,
something
else. Selling cable.
You were selling cable.
I was selling. No, what you thought I was? You thought I was a...
You said a call center, so my head just went straight to...
What, phone sex?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you thought I was one of the operators.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you thought I was one of the operators. You thought I was in there like, hey, baby.
Yeah.
What are you wearing?
Could you do that?
Huh?
Could you do that?
I'm sure I could. I used to have phone sex all the time back in the day. I used to have phone sex back in the day. But like, long time ago, like when I was in high school.
Girl.
Well, it's called exposed for a reason.
It is.
So,
it is.
You know.
So, you're working at a call center. You're doing drag. Yes. You're doing pageants. How did you get into the pageant world?
I got into the pageant world because when I moved to Atlanta, my drag mother, which is Envy Van Michaels, that's where I get my name from. I owe everything that I am in drag to her. And she is a big pageant girl. Like, she does pageants. She also works at Lips Atlanta. And that's how I got in there like that. But, yeah, so she got me into pageants. She put me into my first pageant. And I fell in love, like, very, very fast. It was like clockwork. I was like, oh, yes, this is what I want to do. This is what I'm, And, yeah. And, like I said, that's what I was doing, like, before Drag Race. Like, it was just pageants. It was just pageants. Pageants are my first love when it comes to drag, like. Oh my God. Like, it's nothing like it. Like, I still want to go back and do a pageant one day. But
would
you know.
Would you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Oh, I have always told myself that I'm going to go back. Like, I know I'm going to go back. For sure. Like, pageants are, like, in my heart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about something else in your heart.
Uh-huh.
When did you...
What is in my heart?
When did you Tell apply me. For Drag Race? Did you apply multiple times, or was it just for season 14?
So I only auditioned once, one and done. Mm-hmm.
Stop it!
Yes, it only took one time. It only took one time. Only once. Only once.
How was
and
your
I
video?
Still, it was. You know, must have been good enough. Must have been good enough. But if I'm being honest, I was very ready to like audition again the next year.
Really?
I even had like to this day. I still have like. It in my notes in my phone, like things that I would have done differently, like in my tape, because I didn't. That goes to show you that I just I felt like my goal was to just get my tape in. I didn't really think that I would have, like, they would have called me or nothing like the first time, but I just wanted to get it in because the year before I filled out the application process and never did the tape. So I was like, no, bitch, this time you're going to at least give yourself the chance.
Yeah.
Like, bitch, at least put a tape in. I ain't never, like, well, I was going to say I never auditioned for nothing in my life. I did audition for one other thing. I auditioned for The X Factor once.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And how did that go?
Well, you see what show I got on instead. No, it didn't go very well, but it was a great experience. I didn't make it past the first round of auditions. I went to Greensboro, North Carolina with my dad, and we stood in line for hours and hours and hours, and then I went and sung I'm Going Down by Mary J. Blige to the people, and they said, all right, that was good, but, it's all right. We good, you know. And so I just, you know, I walked out, me and my dad drove back to Sparta, and I cried the entire ride home. So I had a little, you know, I had a little PTSD about auditioning for things. So I could have been auditioned for Drag Race, right? I had been doing Drag Race 7 years before I auditioned. I had been doing drag for 7 years before I actually auditioned. And I had been watching it since season one. Mm-hmm. So I always could have done it. I had been asked for years, why won't you do Drag Race? Like, why won't you do Drag Race? Why won't you do Drag Race? Everybody that found out I did drag, why won't you do Drag Race? And then I went, oh, I just don't feel ready, which was true. I didn't. I just didn't feel ready. And when I auditioned, I did feel ready when I auditioned. I can say that. I felt like, you know, I had been sewing for about 5 months. I was good at doing my makeup by myself. I knew how to put myself together in drag. Like, I felt like, you know, I had the personality for it. Mm-hmm. I felt like I was ready. And then on top of all that, more importantly, I felt like I was ready to be on TV. Because that's a big thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's a big part of it. You got to feel like you're ready to be on TV. Like, and that was the year before, that's what I was hesitant about. I was like, I do feel ready, but am I ready to be on TV? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's different.
It opens a different box.
It opens a different world because now everybody knows you. Mm-hmm. And that scared the shit out of me at first. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, that scared the shit out of me. Like, I'm from Sparta, Georgia. Like, population in the hundreds. Like, girl, you know what I'm saying? Like, no, but for real, you know, not being used to, like, nothing like that or opportunity like this, never been on TV before, never even did anything like TV before. Mm-hmm. At least some girls get on Drag Race now and they've at least done some things, like, you know, filmed some things mm-hmm. or something. I hadn't done anything. I had never filmed nothing, ever. But like I said, I put the tape in. I got it 4 days in. I got my tape in 4 days before the deadline. Mm-hmm. And then I knew I got it in a little late. So that, too, had me like, okay, so if they don't call, I won't be like, you know. Because it felt like a trial run for me.
Yeah.
But actually, it worked.
It worked.
Well, I thought it was going to be trial and error, but it was actually trial
and get right on.
Yeah, yeah.
Where were you when you got that final phone call that was like, you're going to be on the show?
I was at home. I was at home at my parents' house, and it was just me and my mom in the house. And I missed the phone call. Like, I missed their phone call, and I got a voicemail from California. And I was like... And I listened to the voicemail, and it was like, hey, you know, it's such and such from RuPaul's Drag Race. Can you call us back? So I ran into the living room where my mom was, and I was like, I think this is it. Like, I think this is it. I think this is the call. And so I, like, ran. I was like, I'll be right back. So I ran outside where it was completely quiet, and he was like, yeah, you made it on the show. You're on season 14. And I just started screaming. Like, I'm pretty sure the neighbors all the way down the street could, like, hear me. I was screaming my little ass off. I ran back into the house. I sprinted across the house to the living room, and I told my mama that I made it on the show, and I was like, it was like, what is happening? And then it didn't necessarily hit me for real until the next day, because they called the day before 4:20. So the next day was 4:20. So I went to bed on cloud 100.
Uh-huh.
I woke up the next day and decided to smoke. That was a very bad idea.
I bet you got all that in
was
your
a bad. Oh, I got so much into my head. I took all the weed and threw it in the toilet and flushed it.
Stop it.
And then stopped smoking. Stopped smoking weed for like a year or two. And then even to this day, if I am going to dabble in it, it's really just a dabble. Like, I never really kind of, it was enough anxiety in the moment to kind of like, yeah. I was like, I was finna start my get ready process too. I was like, oh no, we can't do this. I only got like a few weeks or so. I can't be doing this. Like what? Oh yeah, so, I'm telling you, I got all up in my head. I was like, the first thing my mind went to was, oh my God, so many people are going to know me. What is happening? What is happening? What if they hate me? Oh my God, what if they hate me? Oh, they're going to send me death threats. Oh, Jesus. Oh, God. Oh, what's happening? Oh, no.
And then you just went on there and you said, I'm going to do a song about myself.
And then I said, it's fine. I said, it's fine. Just do it. Yeah. It's fine. Like I said, once I had came down off of the high,
you were, you were, yeah.
Anyway, now remember, okay, this is what we're doing. Mm-hmm. We don't care that much when we, when we're in a sober mind.
Yeah. Well, your looks for season 14 were phenomenal.
Thank you.
Were gorgeous. How did you prep all of that?
So I had only my best friend. Mm-hmm. So my best friend's Souls. So I went to his house, and I had actually moved back home with my parents at the time. So I was in Sparta, but I went and stayed like a month, or like however much time it was. I spent the entire amount of time to get ready at his house. Like I just stayed with him, and he sold everything in his house for me. It was just me and him. I probably had like one other runway. I think my J-Lo runway was the only runway that wasn't made by him, but he made every single other runway. And then it was like also very helpful to me because I didn't have the time to like source out anything. I didn't want to tell a lot of people. I was scared of the NDAs and stuff, girl. So I was like, it's just me and him. And then also, you know, I only had so much money. Yeah. I had been a rideshare driver, you know, up to that point, busting my ass, taking rides, trying to, you know, save up as much money as I could. So I only had so much. So working with him was really like the blessing, like for me, because he, you know, like I didn't have to pay him until we got back. Like I went, you know, he didn't ask me for anything, like. You know, he sold everything. I went off, went to go film. And then when I got back, started, making money. Then I took care of him or whatever. So,
yeah.
But that was, you know, he was like my saving grace in all of that. Like, he really was. Like, I'm so thankful, like, for my best friend. Because he had really came through in, in the clutch for a bitch. He did. He did. So shout out to my best friend. Anthony
killed it.
Yeah, he did. He, you know, and I was so proud to, like, you know, put his designs and stuff on TV. You know, because that's what it's for. Like, it, honestly, I can say everything that I wore on season 14 was, you know, whether it was like all, you know, all of my hair and stuff was made by people that were my friends and close to me. All of my garments were made by my best friend. Like, everything was like a labor of love. It was all like, you know, put together by me and like a team of people that really like cared about me and wanted me to succeed. So
another person who wanted you to succeed but can't get your name right is named Tammy Brown.
Oh my God. And I'm so, oh my God, I'm so glad that you brought her up, because when I knew I was coming to do this with you, I was like, we got to talk about the elephant in the room.
About Angoria?
Angoria. Angoria is the elephant in the room.
Angoria, right? Angoria. You go, girl.
We got to talk about Angoria because...
So you did Tammy Brown for Snatch Game.
I did.
What was the meaning behind that? Like, what was the want to do that?
The want to do Tammy Brown was because I had like maybe like one or two other options. I couldn't really do them for like copyright reasons. So, yeah, I did Tammy Brown because me and my best friend Madison had always like, you know how like you always have that one or two like impersonations you do with your friend like at home. So we would always be like running around like the house like this all the time. You know, like saying shit, like, you know. And I was like, you know, we were on the phone and I was like, well, what if I did Tammy Brown? I mean, at this point I'm kinda like, I don't know. What else, you know, what else I could do? You know, coming up with a Snatch Game character is hard.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's hard because, you know, I'm not like a big impersonation person. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't do like voices and stuff like that. So I'm like, I don't even know. And so I just kind of took it and just winged it and was like, girl, it's going to be what it's going to be now, girl. I'm going to throw it at the wall and see if it stick. It did not stick, but that's fine.
But it's fine because everybody else's didn't stick as well.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So it was fine, except for Deja's. But, yeah. You know, that's fine.
So Angoria, what did you think when she said Angoria?
Oh, my God. That shit was hilarious. That was so funny to me. That was absolutely hilarious. I was screaming. Because, first of all, I hadn't met her yet.
Uh-huh.
I hadn't met her yet, and I had been wanting to meet her. And mind you, Tammy actually messaged me, like, while the show was still on, like, shortly after Snatch Game. And she, like, reached out to me and told me that she appreciated me doing her, like, for Snatch Game. And you know, that just meant so much to me. I was like, I don't even care that we were all in the bottom, girl.
Yeah.
I was like, you know, because that means something. When your Snatch Game character, regardless of who it is, like, when your Snatch Game character reaches out to you,
mm-hmm.
Just like recently, like, with Plain Jane
yeah.
on the Snatch Game, and the character that she did reached out to her. Like, that feels good.
Yeah.
And so when I saw even, you know, we had talked about it in DMs, but then to hear her talking about it with you, you know, I was like, oh, my God.
It was so funny. I was laughing Angoria. So hard. I
was like, she didn't get my name right, but that's fine. That's
it's fine. She got it all right.
She knew who
letter.
I was.
She knew exactly
she
who
knew
you
who
were.
I was, and that's all that matters.
Well,
that's
girl,
all that matters.
We have 5 minutes left, but I want to run through some stuff because we're
okay.
In, so let's speed
run through
it.
Let's do it.
So there were some fan questions.
Okay.
You ready for them?
I'm ready for them. Let's do it.
Why do you always stare at the ceiling when you're doing lip syncs?
To be honest with you, I have no idea other than I think it's because I'm used to looking at light.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I would perform at the clubs in Atlanta, all you see is this bright ass spotlight, right? I couldn't see anything.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't see the crowd, and I guess to a certain degree, it was like a nerve thing.
Yeah.
Like it made me more comfortable to not look at the audience and kind of overpass the audience and look just at the light, because that's all I could really see anyway. And yeah. On Drag Race, it's kind of the same way. I can't see the cameras.
So
I can't see them.
All
I saw was light, so I just looked at the light. I never looked at the judges, and that's one thing I thought about later. I was like, you could have at least looked at the judges. But I guess, I don't know. But, yeah. And mind you, I didn't even know that I did that until I saw myself on TV and people started pointing it out. And I kind of felt bad about it at first. I was like, ooh. I was like, that's a little cringy. But I'm like, you know what? It's okay.
It's okay.
It's unique. You know, that's what it is.
And
it's
it happened
unique.
In the moment. You don't know
it
you
did.
Do those
I don't
things.
Know that I don't know that I do these things. I don't. I didn't know I was looking up at the ceiling every time, but I was. So it's been something that I've been working on.
Mm-hmm.
I've been trying to be eye level. Now.
Well, next question.
Okay.
Speaking of lip syncs, you had
okay.
a lip sync with Willow Pill to Telephone.
Mm-hmm.
There are multiple endings recorded for that.
Yes.
Did you think that one of you was going to go home? Or did you think that you both were going to go through?
A little bit of both. I kind of thought we both would have stayed. And then I kind of thought that I would. If I'm being honest, I thought either I was going to go home or either we both were going to stay. I didn't really see a finale without her.
Mm-hmm.
But I was hoping there wasn't going to be one without me.
Yeah, and there wasn't.
And there wasn't. So that's that.
And then it was a final five, right?
Yeah, it was the top five. Yeah.
First time ever.
First time in history, yeah.
Hey.
Look, I'll take it.
Take it.
I'll take it.
Another question was, do you believe that you should have won the design challenge instead of Georgia's?
I definitely could have seen either me or Lady Camden
mm-hmm.
winning it. I did not see George's winning. But, I mean, you know, hey. You know, that's my sister. That's my sister. And I was very, I would say that. And I was very happy. I was very happy for her. I was one of the first people to tell her congratulations because I genuinely was really, really happy
mm-hmm.
that she did. But I was a little... I did kind of cry in my hotel
yeah.
room a little bit.
I
was like,
too.
I was like, girl, I'm so proud of what I had made, but it's fine.
So since the show's called Exposed,
okay.
we always ask the girls that come through to expose something that happened behind the scenes of RuPaul's Drag Race that you wish would have made it on camera.
So, so nobody got to see it, but Deja.
Your lip sync?
Deja. You know about it?
About the levitating lip sync?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She, yeah. And I've had people ask me, is that true? It is absolutely true. We all sat and watched Deja lip sync to Levitate by Dua Lipa. It was interesting because she didn't really know all the words. So she kept doing that thing where you turn around and you go look back. And so she would come back and look back at us. And we were all like, because I knew she didn't really know the words like that, because she knew and we knew she wasn't going to be in the bottom. So we're all in the workroom listening to Levitating and she's chilling, eating. Mm-hmm. Watching us run around the workroom levitating.
So, Egeria, as we close all of this out, I want to know what's coming down the pipeline for you. What's next on the horizons?
What's next on the horizon is just more TV. Mm-hmm. More TV. I am constantly filming things, just working on projects, just like I showed up here to be mm-hmm. with you today. I have been showing up to be a lot of other places in front of a lot of other cameras, so I'm very excited, like, just about future projects, because that's my big thing. I just want more TV.
Yeah.
That's what out of everything, TV, music, whatever, I want more TV in my life, so that's what's happening.
Well, thank you so much, Angeria, for being here and chatting with me. I've been enjoying you on The Binge Queens.
Yeah,
thank you. They're talking about some international seasons.
Yeah, which is my favorite thing to do, because I watch all of them.
Are you rooting for somebody in UK versus the world?
On UK versus the world, honestly, I'm probably rooting for Tia Coffey the hardest. Mm-hmm. Tia's my sister, and I love her so much, and I'm very proud of, like, her glow up, and I'm rooting hard.
You know who I was rooting for?
Who you rooting for?
I was rooting for Arantxa. There was just something about her. I was just like, I knew that she wasn't
going to
win.
I thought she was going to say Mayhem. Oh, fuck.
Oh, fuck. Well, I'm Joseph Shepherd. This is the beautiful Angeria Paris Van Michaels. Until next time, this has been Exposed.